Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
A lot of you tweeting. So what did he say that was inaccurate? Well, I don't know. I can't answer that question. I don't work in that building with all of those players. I don't know Jerry Jones. I don't know the commissioner. I don't know all of our fans. I would say that most of our fans are not high school educated alcoholic mouth breathers. I would say that that part is, you know, inaccurate. You know, the mouth breathing part, perhaps, me included. All right. Let's get to our NFC predictions, Denton. We gave our AFC predictions yesterday. You had Cincinnati advancing to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. I had Kansas City going back with a chance to win a third straight Super Bowl. I had Kansas City beating the Jets. You had Cincinnati beating Kansas City in the AFC title game. Let's do our NFC division by division, and then we'll save for the 12 o'clock hour of the show how we seed them playoff wise and who ends up advancing to the Super Bowl. So I'll start. We'll save the NFC East for last. Let's start with the NFC North. So, you know who gave Detroit a lot of problems last year? Beat them on Thanksgiving Day pretty handily. And, you know, won a game early in the season before Green Bay started to figure it out. But when Green Bay got on a roll late in the year last year, you could argue that Green Bay was actually as good, if not better, than Detroit. They won six out of their final eight games. Part of that was beating up on the Lions to really get their playoff run started. And then the Packers, we know, destroyed the Cowboys in the wild card round and had the 49ers, like the Rams, like the Lions did, on the ropes. I like Green Bay to win this division. I'm a big fan of what they have, you know, not only the staff, but what they have at quarterback in Jordan Love. You know, the development of some of the receivers that were a big question mark last year. They added Josh Jacobs to the lineup. Defensively, they're solid. They're well coached across the board. They play Detroit November 3rd at home. That'll be a huge game in the NFC North. And then they play Detroit in early December on a Thursday night on Amazon Prime. That'll be another big game for them. And then they end the season with four winnable games: Seattle, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Chicago. I like Green Bay to win the NFC North at 11-6. I like the Lions right there. So I'm going to say that the Lions and Green Bay end up with the same record, but the Packers end up winning the tiebreaker. But I like the Packers to emerge as the NFC North champ. Lions to be second at 11-6. The Bears to have a pretty good season for Caleb Williams. I mean, that team is built better than almost any team's been built for a number one overall at quarterback. So I like the Bears to be right around 500. I've got the Bears at 8-8-1. And then I've got the Vikings really struggling this year. They really fell apart last year when Kirk went down. It's going to be Sam Darnold. J.J. McCarthy's not going to get that chance. I actually think Darnold will be okay in the Kevin O'Connell system, and he's got some weapons there. And they were much improved with Brian Flores as the defensive coordinator last year. I've got Minnesota, though, with 6 wins and finishing in last in the NFC North. But there is a bit of a twist there for me. The Lions are kind of big-time favorites to win the NFC North. I'm picking the Packers to win a tiebreaker at the end of the year at 11-6 and win the NFC North. Denton, what do you have?
So I'm going chalky here. I'm taking the Lions. I think they're going to have another really good season. I really appreciate how they have handled the offseason in getting all of their guys signed. I think that's a really smart way of doing things. I think they're going to go 13-4. I have big expectations for them this year. I have Green Bay right behind them at 11-6, a very similar record to you. I just think that Detroit's going to have a little bit of a better record. I got Chicago at 9-8. They're going to finish with a winning record. You know, Caleb Williams is a really, really good quarterback that could be a potentially great quarterback. There will be some struggles, I imagine, at the beginning portion of the season as he adjusts to the NFL. But eventually, they're going to get it right. That offense has too many weapons for him to not get it right. So they're going to go 9-8. And then, like you, I had the Vikings kind of at the bottom here. Maybe they get 7 wins. Maybe. But I think I'm more along like 6-11 for them.
All right, let's go to the NFC South, which really does look like a division in which 3 teams are going to fight it out. Atlanta is a sizable favorite, you know, according to the books. You know, the addition of Cousins, obviously, they have not had a quarterback there since Matt Ryan was playing like a legitimate starting quarterback. They've got weapons. You know, they added Darnell Mooney. They've got Drake London. They've got Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Tyler Algier in the backfield. You could say that the combination of Robinson and Algier is as good a backfield as there is in the league. Their offensive line is pretty decent, Chris Lindstrom being, you know, one of the better guards in the league. Defensively, they have made additions here recently, adding Justin Simmons and Matt Judon. You know, they ended up paying big for Judon and Simmons here, during the preseason, because they used their number one overall pick on Michael Penix Jr. when they could have added a pass rush. Pass rush was their Achilles heel heading into this season. Here's my one concern about the Falcons. Like, they've got Zach Robinson, you know, part of the Sean McVay, you know, Shanahan tree. So the offense will be tailor-made for what Kirk does well, just like it was with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. I wonder if, even more so than Aaron Rodgers in some ways, Cousins approaching, you know, 36 years old, coming off a serious injury, I wonder if it takes him a while to get back to where he was last year. Minnesota was on the verge of taking off last year when he got hurt. He was playing at a ridiculously high level. They had just beaten the 49ers without Justin Jefferson on Monday Night Football. But I think it's going to take a while for them to, you know, put everything together. It's a new group with a new quarterback. And I wonder how long it'll take him to be comfortable that the injury isn't going to affect him. And you know, they start off, listen to this, Steelers on Sunday at home, and then it's at Philly, Kansas City. Their first 3 games are the Steelers, Eagles, and Chiefs. That's not easy. And they play the Bucks early enough in the season twice, the team that they are expected to compete with for the title in the NFC South. They play the Bucks at home on October 3rd and on the road on October 27th. So they get their two biggest division games out of the way before the midway point of the season. That's my concern. With that said, they just have a better roster, and the quarterback is the best in the division if he ends up being what he was last year before the injury. I've got the Falcons at 10-7 and winning that division in a very tight race with Tampa, and I've got Tampa finishing 9-8. Then it's the Saints at 7-10. I do like the Saints defensively. I do. I'm just not a Derek Carr guy. And Dennis Allen, you know, enters this season very much on the hot seat. It's kind of surprising that he's back. But they've got some pieces, man. Olave's legit good. You know, they still have Alvin Kamara. They've got Jamal Williams in the backfield. I just like them defensively and the way they've played defensively. I just don't think Derek Carr's good enough to get them to that level of, you know, double-digit wins to legitimately compete for a division title. So I've got them at 8-9, 7-10. I'll put them at 8-9. And I do have the Panthers improving. And I've got them going over their total of 5.5, but I put them at 6-11 in last place. What do you got for the NFC South?
So I got your boy winning this thing. I got the Falcons winning it. I think it'll be a little bit closer to 500 than you do. I happen to not like the Saints or Buccaneers a ton this year, so I don't think it'll be necessarily close per se. But I think the Falcons are going to win this division with 9-8 as a record. Kirk might take a week or two to get acclimated, and obviously he's coming off a big-time injury, so it'll take a little bit to kind of shake the rust off. But I like them going 9-8. I like Tampa Bay and New Orleans to have a very similar record of 7-10. I don't love either of these teams, especially what they have at quarterback. And then I like Carolina, as we talked about earlier this week, hovering around that 6 win. Yeah, 5.5 mark's tough, but I like hovering around 5 or 6 wins. I think just for the sake of being fun, I'll go with 6 wins. But they're going to be, you know, they still have a lot of work to do on offense.
NFC West, I mean, I don't know how you don't pick the 49ers. I mean, okay, so they've gotten some of their key players in late, but they're in. They're the best team on paper in the NFC. In fact, I think you could also you could make the case it's not actually that close. I mean, I guess Detroit on paper, Philly if, you know, things come together, Green Bay maybe. I got the 49ers winning 13 games and going 13-4. This is a big year for them. You know, this is their window on a rookie quarterback deal closing season. They've been so close. You know, two Super Bowl appearances, two Super Bowl losses, two NFC championship games in which they lost, but they certainly were very close in one of them to going back to a Super Bowl. This is the year the 49ers have to get it done. And I think they will. I just think they're flat out much better. I think getting Ayuk signed was huge. I don't think I would have felt as strongly about the Niners without Ayuk. I've got them at 13-4. They'll be my number one seed in the NFC when we get to the seeding. And then I think the rest of it is a fight between the Rams and Seattle and just getting to a point in which they're in contention for a wild card spot. I've got the Rams at 9-8. I think Stafford's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league. Most of you know I've loved Matt Stafford all along, even when he was in Detroit and had a losing record and et cetera. I love him as a quarterback. I just think at times he's looked old. I love Kyron Williams in the backfield, Nacua, Kupp, et cetera. But, man, just sometimes they look fragile from a health standpoint. I don't know if you can trust it for an entire year. It's going to be interesting to see how Jared Verse works into that defense because he was an elite pass rusher at the college level. You know, Cam Curl is starting for the Rams at strong safety, but I've got the Rams at 9-8 and hovering around that bubble for, you know, a 6 or a 7 seed. I've got Seattle at 9-8 as well. I actually think this is a really interesting team. They have talent. First year, you know, coach, first time head coach. We'll see what it looks like with Mike McDonald, with Ryan Grubb coming in as the OC. It's Geno Smith's, you know, offense. He's got weapons in Lockett and Metcalf and Smith and Njigba. He's got a great back, I think a very underrated back in Kenneth Walker III. They've got some talent defensively. I like them at 9-8 and also hovering around that wild card spot. And then I'm not a big fan of Kyler Murray at all. I don't think Arizona is going to be good with him or without him. I've got them at 5-12. What do you have in the West?
Oh, you're big time out on Arizona. Yeah. Like you, I have the 49ers. They're going to be on one seed as well at 13-4. I have the Rams at 10-7. You know, I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but I kind of like the Rams to sneak into the postseason this year. I think you'll see more of that healthy, young-ish version of Stafford than you will of that old version that you speak of. I like Seattle to go 7-10. I don't think it'll be a great year for them, but I have great news for all the silly gooses that said they were going to leave this team when Sam Howell got traded. I think you'll see him at the end of the year when it's out of contention for the postseason. I think he'll get some reps out there in Seattle. And I like Arizona to finish the same way. I'd like him at 7-10. Kyler Murray's great for the first 8 weeks of the season and then falls off a cliff when people realize that if they just put big bodies in front of him, he can't see. I'm excited to see what Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like this year, but I don't have a whole lot of high expectations for Arizona.
What did you say about Sam Howell and silly gooses?
Did you not, when Sam Howell got traded, there were so many people in my Twitter mentions, because I was making fun of the fact that that he was traded, that said they are leaving the fan base to go be a fan of Sam Howell in Seattle. So congratulations to all them. Okay. That's silly goose behavior. We got a better quarterback. You can go love him in week 16.
We both got, you know, when we go back to last year, the people that swore they saw Joe Montana in Sam Howell. But I didn't get that people were that upset about the trade after watching him for 17 games. Could you actually legitimately be upset that they traded him? Come on. All right. The East. I like Philadelphia. I like everything they've done. There's a chance this could go wrong because of, you know, what we've read recently about the relationship between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, and that there was a lot of contentiousness last year, and that was, you know, a lot of the blame for the end of season debacle was put on the tension between Hurts and Sirianni. I love the addition of Vic Fangio in particular as a defensive coordinator. They upgraded their team speed defensively, which they lacked in their secondary last year. They brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They drafted Quinyon Mitchell. Up front, they're super strong. They're going to miss Jason Kelce a lot offensively on that offensive line. A big early watch will be Cam Jurgens at center to see if he's as good. I wonder if they'll use the tush push as much this year without Kelce. You talk to anybody in the league, they'll say that Kelce was as much a part of that tush push as Jalen Hurts and his lower body strength was. The addition of Saquon Barkley, is it Christian McCaffrey to San Francisco? I don't know if it's that, but I think it could be big time for Philly. I like the Eagles. I like the Eagles a lot this year. I've got them at 12-5 winning the NFC East. I've got Dallas not dropping off a ledge, but stepping back a little bit, winning 10 games. And then I have Washington at 10-7, a surprise team. If you're doing the math on this, that's good enough for a wild card spot. And then the Giants, I think, are improved. I think they're going to win 7 games in the NFC East. I know everybody's doing the math saying this doesn't come out the right way. We're just giving predicted records for each of these teams. We're not trying to have it equal out in terms of losses and wins league-wide. But that's my NFC East. Philly, then Washington and Dallas tying for second at 10-7, and the Giants at 7-10. What's yours?
I have very similar spots in the rankings, Kevin, but just very different records. I got Philly going 11-6 and winning the division. I have Washington second. It's a tie with Dallas, but they win the tiebreaker. The difference is I have them at 8-9. I don't think that Dallas is going to fall off a cliff necessarily, but they're not going to be in the postseason. I do expect a massive setback just because their offseason has been such a mess and a debacle. And then I got the Giants at 6-10 or 6-11. You will see a better version of Daniel Jones. I think it's been like the fun, trendy thing to just take a dump on this dude this offseason. I still don't think he's great by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think he will prove at least some segment of the national fan base wrong.
All right, we will come back at next hour, and we will give you our seedings and then the two teams that will participate in the NFC title game and then the team that advances to face our AFC champion in the Super Bowl. That's next hour. Up next, fantasy football with Paul Charchian. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Arch is with us again this year, every Thursday in this spot, although I'm going to call you afterwards because I need more time with you. And I know you've got a busy schedule. Arch is in demand this time of year, and his media appearances are prolific. Arch at Paul Charchian on X on Twitter, director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com, podcast Fantasy Football Weekly and CHOP. You get those wherever you get your podcasts. We have arrived, my friend.
Yes,
at the start
it is
of
time.
The season. I mean, it really is like for those of us that love this sport and love this league, it is such a great rhythm that we fall into this time of year, isn't it?
It really is. And you know, part of what makes the NFL tick, I think, it's the long dry off season. You know, you want it back. And I just don't feel like we roll into cap season feeling that way about the NHL, you know, where it's just, you know, the length of those seasons, we want it, we crave it. We're so ready for football. And it's, you know, it's part of the reason I don't love the notion that they're going to go to 18 games or 20 games in the regular season. Sometimes less is more. And I just feel like the NFL's got, you know, this wonderful long offseason where you can really get the juices flowing and start really anticipating the season. You know, you with me on this?
Yeah, I think we're going to get 18 games, and I think we're going to get a President's Day Super Bowl weekend eventually.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, 17. I don't know if we can be overserved with this. I don't know if we can be. Anyway, let's talk this weekend, and let's start with tonight. Derrick Henry's debut in Baltimore. If you've got him, do you start him against the Chiefs defense, which, by the way, was lights out against the Ravens in the AFC title game?
It was. So I'm glad you brought that up. These teams met two games ago. The score was 17-10 despite very nice weather for that game. And the defenses for both of these teams, extremely similar to the ones from last year. So we can draw on that last game at least a little bit. In that game, the Ravens running backs had six rushing attempts all game.
Yeah,
that's
Monken.
It.
Yeah,
that's going to change, right? I mean, you know, Derrick Henry, they bring in Derrick Henry to run the ball six times. They're going to run much more here. But Kansas City's run defense was good last year. They only gave up six rushing touchdowns all year. That's it. And even volume backs, they had six different backs face Kansas City that ran the ball 18 or more times. They averaged 90 yards, which is good, not amazing, and 0.2 touchdowns. So, I still like Henry, and obviously you're going to start him, but I don't know that a monster game is coming here. I've got a B grade on Derrick Henry.
This is such an interesting ad because Henry at times, even in recent years, has been Derrick Henry. We've seen him have some of those mm-hmm. games. And when you're in this dual threat rush first attack, although it wasn't, you know, in the AFC title game, I don't know. I think it could be a huge year for him. It's going to be interesting.
The offensive line boost is significant for him, and he needs that. I mean, it's like Derrick Henry's a guy who's going to juke around defenders. He needs lanes. And, you know, Baltimore their better offensive line anyway, but they also have a lot of moving parts and they upgraded it in the offseason. Hopefully those things all come together in week one. But that'll be what I'm looking for here with Derrick Henry. Does he have the big rushing lanes?
If you have Patrick Mahomes on your team, which I do, do you start him tonight?
Yeah. Well, very quiet game in the AFC Championship, just 241-1. Ravens were an elite pass defense last year, and it's almost the exact same defense this year. They gave up one passing touchdown per game, which in this NFL is outstanding. No passer hit 300 yards against Baltimore all year last year. 11 of them didn't even top 227 yards. This is and he doesn't have Hollywood Brown. It's still Patrick Mahomes, and you know you kind of have to start him. But my expectations here are in check, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's back at something in that ballpark of 250 yards, one maybe two touchdowns. I don't see an explosive game coming here.
What's the toughest call for any player for fantasy owners tonight?
It's Kansas City's first round rookie Xavier Worthy. You know, he had some electrifying moments in preseason, including one preseason game, which he hauled in two bombs. He's the guy who set the all-time combine speed record in the 40. But he goes up against, again, very good pass defense. Baltimore only gave up 12 wide receiver scores all year. Where he's really helped is no Hollywood Brown. So with no Hollywood Brown on the field, that could put Xavier Worthy on the field for much of this game. And so I kind of like him here. See if you think you agree with me on this. So he's a raw rookie, but he's super fast. Maybe Andy Reid just tries to put some deep balls to Worthy on tape to force future opponents to have to just respect the deep pass. Because remember, Patrick Mahomes' average distance of throws keeps getting shorter year over year, which makes him easier to defend. They'd really lost a lot of that downfield passing attack. And I wonder if they don't try to make a statement here with Xavier Worthy with some long bombs.
Yeah, I mean, they have the fastest player ever recorded at the Combine and maybe one of the fastest straight line guys to ever come into the league. And look, they've missed some of that. You know, they've not been the mm-hmm. same in terms of the dynamic playmaking ability since Hill left. I think anything's possible. Tell me about the three rookie quarterbacks who are going to start and their opponents. Jaden Daniels against Tampa for our team. Mm-hmm. Bo Nix for the Broncos against the Raiders. And then Caleb Williams against the Titans for the Bears.
Yeah, well, the guy I'm not high on at all is Bo Nix, and I don't think his game...
I said at the Raiders, they're at Seattle.
Yep. I'm not calling him a bust before he's ever played an NFL game, so let me be really careful about this, but what Bo Nix did at Oregon was he was a one-read quarterback, and in that read was lightning fast, and it was near the line of scrimmage, and if that guy wasn't open, he was either throwing bad passes or breaking off routes. He wasn't going through his progressions. He was not, he's somebody who ran into trouble. So it's got to evolve. And I don't think it happens here. And he's got a lot to prove to me before I'm starting Bo Nix. Now the other two, it's a whole different story. I've got starting grades on both Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. Williams had real moments that looked fantastic in the preseason. Some things that didn't look good and it wasn't all beautiful, but he had some plays where you're like, damn, that's an NFL level arm right there. And he gets Tennessee in the opener. I mean, this is a very, very plus matchup against the 27th ranked pass defense by Pro Football Focus last year. They made one personnel improvement. That's it. So I like Caleb Williams quite a bit in this game. For your guy, Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, Jaden McDaniels is a very good Timberwolf.
Yes,
and
he
I
is.
Follow the Wolves closely. I'm going to get the name wrong many times over the course of our conversations. So I'm just going to get that out of the way early.
Well, I mean, your team, you have an NBA team that's legitimately worth rooting for. That was fun to watch them this year, especially that series against Denver. Tell me about the three top receivers, Harrison, Neighbors, and Roma Dunze. Who do you like this weekend among those three?
I like Neighbors the best. And they're all startable, but Neighbors gets a Minnesota secondary that gave up the sixth most fantasy points to receivers last year. Got overhauled at the cornerback position with a bunch of veterans who no other team wanted, like Shaq Griffin and Stephon Gilmore, who they only signed like 3 weeks ago. So I like Neighbors the best. Dunze gets the Titans. We just mentioned that as a very positive matchup. And then, Marvin Harrison, the first receiver taken in this draft, he's got the trickiest one of the bunch because it's Buffalo's the opponent. They were really good against the pass last year. Only three receivers topped 82 yards all year. They gave up the six fewest fantasy points to position, and Marvin Harrison's going to draw with Sewell Douglas, and he was great last year. He finished his Pro Football Focus as sixth-ranked cornerback. So, the trickiest matchup is the first guy taken here, Marvin Harrison.
All right, last one for Charge for Week 1. Give me a player or two that's, the most interesting here in Week 1 that you're really excited to see.
I think from a fantasy standpoint, we get the most questions answered when we watch Atlanta running back Bijan Robinson. Because, last year we were so frustrated with the way he was used by Arthur Smith. And we just assume that Zach Robinson, your offensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, that he's going to use him differently. But Zach Robinson is saying specifically and repeatedly that Tyler Allgeier is going to be very involved in this offense.
Right.
So how involved? I mean, Bijan Robinson went off the board, Kevin, in the middle of the first round of fantasy drafts. I mean, people were banking on him turning into an 18, 20 touch guy every week. So to me, finding out if he's going to really be closer to a bell cow is the most fascinating storyline to watch on Sunday.
Allgeier in a different situation would be a number one back on a lot of rosters, don't you think?
Yeah, your team. He would be better than Brian Robinson, and he'd be a number one back on probably six, seven teams in the NFL.
Yeah, they have a very good running back situation. By the way, Brian Robinson Jr., just remember I told you this. He's going to have a big year for this team.
You think so? Man, tell me why you think that, because I don't see it on the field.
All right, so this is why I would tell you that. Number one, you've got a dual-threat quarterback, which, as we know, when you have a dual-threat quarterback, It opens it up. It makes it a lot easier for the running backs. Mm-hmm. We go back to Alfred Morris. We didn't even know who Alfred Morris was in 2012. He ended up setting the franchise record that year for rushing yards. Number two is you're going to see Kingsbury be a responsible offensive coordinator. He's going to try to protect his young quarterback. Not, you know, he's going to have him involved in a run dual threat, you know, attack at times, but there's going to be a much more emphasis on running the football, which they didn't do at all last year under Eric Bieniemy. You're going to use their backs a lot in quick game, in screens. And I'm telling you, Charch, he's underrated. He is very good after the contact. He's got good vision. He's much better than people understand as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Hmm. And I think Eckler has a chance to have a big year, but I think Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be featured in this offense a lot more than people realize. I mean, when they go empty set, don't be surprised if he's on the field as a receiver.
Wow.
Yeah, I like Not Brian Eckler. Robinson Jr. to have a big year. I think part of it is that I have belief that Jaden Daniels is going to be pretty good as a rookie. So, and that Kingsbury can scheme it up. We'll see. All right, yeah. Anything else?
I'm on the Eckler side of this. For the record, we'll mark the tape. I'm on the Eckler side for a big year. You can be on the Robinson side, and hopefully we'll both be right.
All right. I know you got to run. Thanks. I love doing this with you. Can't wait to do it for another season.
You got it, my man. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Paul Charchi and everybody. We'll do some Denton news next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. I'm here to tell you that Window Nation's September savings are as good as you will get anywhere right now. If you've been thinking about new windows, now's the perfect time. Window Nation leads the industry with an impressive 96% customer satisfaction rating. That means when you choose Window Nation, you're getting top-notch quality and outstanding service every step of the way. Replace your old drafty windows and enjoy up to 40% savings on your energy bills. How about reducing your heating and air conditioning bills by 40%? It gets even better. Window Nation offers an unbeatable lifetime warranty. That's their promise that your new windows are built to last for years to come. Right now, take advantage of an exclusive offer. Buy two windows, get two free. Plus, you can get started with zero money down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. Don't wait. Call Window Nation today to schedule your free, no obligation in-home estimate. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. And remember, to get this special offer, tell them Kevin Sheehan sent you.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, so we talked a lot about the Nationals yesterday. Oh, how they crushed the Marlins. They haven't lost to the Marlins. Well, they lost yesterday. They lost in 10, 4-3. It's unfortunate because Mackenzie Gore pitched one of his best games this year. One hit, only one run, struck out 9. I mean, that's a great performance from him in 6 innings, but they just weren't able to get it done.
Yeah, I think one of the good stories here over the last week and a half, is that Mackenzie Gore has gotten it back together, because there was a stretch there in August where he was horrendous. I think his ERA went from something like, you know, 2.91 and ballooned to like something approaching 5. You know, he was giving up, you know, hits and runs and walking people and not striking out people. And in the last 3 games, because after, you know, seeing how well he pitched last night, I went back and looked at a couple of the recent games, including the win over the Yankees. I mean, he has been lights out in his last 3 starts, allowing in total 4 earned runs in those 3 starts and striking out, like, I think 20 batters in those 3 starts. So it's good news to see him get back on track for them, because, you know, they view him clearly as a number one, certainly, you know, one of the guys vying to be a number one if they get into a position to contend. What's Dylan Cruz been doing since? I know he had a decent, you know, first couple games.
He had a couple of bombs, did so against the Yankees. His first career hit came off Garrett Cole. He's been really good against the Yankees since then. I mean, he only has 2 homers on the year.
Well, I mean, how many? It's 2 homers in like 6 games, right?
8 games. Yeah, 7 hits in 8 games, 2 homers, 3 RBI, 3 walks. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, here it is. He had a homer in that 5-2 win over the Yankees. Went back-to-back games with a homer against the Yankees and a homer against the Cubs. So, good for him. All right, what else?
All right, so we talked yesterday about the Sam Cosmi deal. By the time we ended our show, the numbers had not come out for that. We now have those numbers. 4 years, $74 million, 45 of that guaranteed. His AAV is 18.5. It's the third highest right guard AAV, fifth highest guard period AAV.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you wanted. I don't think that many people would push back on the idea of signing Sam Cosmi to a long-term contract extension and not letting him start a season in which that season could end with unrestricted free agency. And, you know, you paid him in the top five in the league, basically, knowing that 2 years from now, it won't even be a top 10 salary. And by the way, that's where he probably slots in. Certainly, at his position in the league based on some of the advanced numbers. I love this. I think it's the first chance to see how they would handle a situation like Sam Cosmi, a player that was one of theirs, a player that was ascending, a player that's a great fit for the locker room. And a player that would have had a big market had you let him get to it a year from now. So I think overall they did the right thing and that he was compensated fairly. And it's a good deal for everybody involved. I don't know where the pushback on anything related to that deal would be.
No, it was great. There was a stat that was put out by the 33rd team of the guards that played 1,000 snaps. Two of them allowed one sack. It was Sam Cosmi. It was Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Absolutely. It's excellent. And good for him. Happy for him. All right, what else?
So speaking of football, we got a couple of changes. We got Earl Forsey coming up at the top of the hour. He does his great countdown to kickoff show every Sunday. We have a change to the pregame show. It will no longer be Craig Hoffman and Logan Paulson. They did a great job for the past couple of years. It'll instead be myself and Linnell Willingham. We're going to do 2 hours of pregame every week, and then we do the show during the game, the in-game show, as we call it. So they'll be on both 106.7 and the Team 980. It'll be on the Team 980 every week. It'll be on 106.7 once the Nats season ends and they stop playing on Sundays during game days.
How about that? You didn't tell me about that. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Linnell. That's a big spot. Let me tell you, I hosted the pregame show on the team's radio network for 13 years, whatever it was. And this is a big spot. You know, all due respect to the current station that covers the team, they're not a sports talk or carries the games. They're not a sports talk station. So you're going to have a big audience, especially if the team is competitive. And you guys will be great together. You've already been doing the in-game stuff. You've worked with Linnell a ton, but good for you. Happy for you. And it's 2 hours. So yeah, You'll follow Earl's show countdown to kickoff. So you'll go 11-1 for the 1 o'clock games, and for the 4:25 game Sunday, I would imagine it's a 2 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, so we start at 2 o'clock this weekend. We're going to politely strong arm you to do a segment every single week, so you'll hear you every single week. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of interaction. We have some cool stuff planned for it, so we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's good. I think, you know, I don't want to get inside baseball. I don't think anybody really cares, but so home games for pregame shows are huge because you have so many people, although in recent years, not enough people going to the games. But back in the day when they were actually getting 75,000, 80,000 to home games, that pregame show was lit in terms of, you know, the number of people listening. Road games, a little bit different, and the 4 o'clock window is a little bit different because people are into watching the NFL games, right, that are already started. But that Sunday morning spot for a 1 o'clock game for the pregame show is a big spot, and it will be for you guys. And Denton and Linnell will be great together. Denton's phenomenal, and I think some of you guys know that already. Everything he does is first-rate, professional, well done. His college football stuff on Sirius XM is outstanding. You know, you're I've told you this before, but Denton's the first guy that I've had as a producer over the years that also is an on-air talent. And that, by the way, is a big deal. It's very, very helpful to have somebody like Denton as a part of the show. So congrats on that. That's great news.
Thank you. I'm going to clip that and put it on my LinkedIn profile.
There you go.
Couple final things football-wise. Jamar Chase practiced Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw that.
We are, like, this is a very unique situation because I don't know that we've ever had a guy that is technically holding out but also practicing but also might not play week one. This has become really, really fascinating to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, look, they probably feel like they can hold him out of week one in a game against New England and still win. They have to have him back next week when they play the Chiefs. That's a big game for them early in the season in the AFC. Cincinnati fancies themselves, and I think, you know, reasonably so, as an AFC contender as long as Joe Burrow is playing, and they will be. But they need Jamar Chase. He's been with Joe Burrow for their best moments every step of the way. That is a huge close it out, get it done by week two. But right now, essentially what he's doing is he's doing the hold-in thing, right?
Yeah, you're doing the hold-in, which is, that's such a new phrase. It's a good phrase, yeah. But it's such a new funny phrase.
Yeah. But, you know, be careful. I mean, the Patriots have some talent on defense anyway. All right, what else?
All right, final thing here. I'm sure you have seen there's a commercial that went viral over the weekend with Nick Saban in the Vrbo, the VRBO, like Airbnb. I guess They're a rival of Airbnb. Yep. But a commercial went viral. It was hilarious. But the director came out and did an interview and said there was one thing in particular that made Nick Saban a little uncomfortable. I thought it would have been the line, "It's daddy time in the tub," but according to the director, it was instead yelling at the children. Nick Saban felt bad about constantly screaming at the kids that they weren't allowed in the house.
Nick, it's a commercial. This is the commercial where he's like, no fun, you know, you can't have pets, you can't do this. It's his no list for the people who are renting his VRBO property.
Yes, and it was like playing off of the classic.
I saw it a couple times Saturday.
It was funny. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
Saban is funny. Bill Belichick is funny. Like, the more that we see these guys outside of football, the more I get more angry because they would have had opportunities to be hilarious in press conferences, and they just decided against it.
Well, they were very buttoned up for competitive reasons. I think the funniest exchange or the funniest meme from college football week number one was McAfee going nuts on the College Game Day set with his shirt off and that look from Saban where he just gives him side eye and then turns around like, oh my God, what am I doing here? That was pretty funny. But I think they get along, don't they? Because he's on McAfee's show once a week.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban said after that, like, you could hear the very tail end of the clip. He's like, this is the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah. It was a funny clip, though. All right. Earl Forsey, who does such a good job on Countdown to Kickoff and really is one of the people in the market that knows this team, knows the history of this team, gets excited about this team. He will join me next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. you get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.